One of the greatest challenges that I have, or struggles, I guess I would call it both, that I have dealt with most of my life, and one of the areas that it's also that mindfulness and mindful coping practice have helped me so much with, are what I refer to as how I deal with going through the cycles of life. And I don't think that any two people experience the same types of cycles. In other words, everyone, I would imagine, has a little bit of a different experience, although there may be some commonality between the what I call the highs and the lows of life, or the various polarities that we find ourselves at one extreme or another, or anything in between. And not that I necessarily want to get really overly focused on my own struggles in terms of getting hung up on that or needing to talk about that, as this is really more about just taking a broad view and then really sharing how mindfulness and mindful coping practice have helped me navigate these inevitable highs and lows. My guru taught me many, many years ago that as human beings, we're very innately capable of experiencing both highs and lows, and that if we choose to, there are very a varying array of different means to utilize to try to get high, so to speak, and not just with chemicals or with ingesting things, but also in terms of spiritual practices on one end of the spectrum. And on the other end of the spectrum, there are just various worldly things that we can avail ourselves of. And really, at the end of the day, it's all really one thing. So I don't want to get too caught up in distinguishing between what's spiritual and what's worldly. But there are many practices that we can engage in to get those highs and to feel those highs. On the human level, there's a lot of things that we can do that just make us feel great, and that things that we can turn to in terms of things that are external to us that we can use to also feel a similar high. We can, you know, something that's new. And I know that, you know, I don't know if everyone struggles with this, but there is sometimes I have found myself over the years becoming very bored with the way things are. At some point, there is this high that comes from discovering something new. And sometimes it can be very serendipitous. Sometimes it can be that I'm actually looking for it. It's like there's a fix that I need to get, and I will find myself looking for that. And so when I look back at the last 30 to 40 years of my adult life, what I'm really seeing is a pattern of behavior, a pattern of living either at both extremes or at both polarities. I'm either really, really on, I'm really completely engaged. And when I am, I know that even for me, I love being around me when I'm really on, when I'm really in the zone, when I'm really open, and when my heart is open and the energy is moving. And I've had people close to me tell me that they love the me that's on, when I'm fully on and when I'm all in. I mean, everything. I push, you know, kind of used as a euphemism, you know, in a game of cards, I push all my chips out to the table. I'm willing to take risks. I will literally give everything I have to something if I'm really bought into it and I really am taking ownership. On the other end of the spectrum, what that usually gives way to inevitably at some point are what I refer to as the lows, the times when the new has worn off. And at some point, it always does. And it took me a long time, and I've had several teachers who have spoken to me about how no matter how much we try to get out of something, how much juice we try to get out of it, or how much we, I guess another way of looking at this is we try to milk something for everything that we can get out of it until we find ourselves at a point where there's just nothing else to get from it. And I've talked to enough people and had these conversations that I can say that I think it is fairly common. I can't really say that everyone goes through this. But at the same time, though, I would imagine that there are different, you know, varying degrees of oscillating between these two polarities of being really, really on and really, really off, being very, very high or very, very low. And what does this really have to do? What does mindfulness have to do with this? How does that help? Well, first of all, as someone who has struggled with chronic depression for most of, if not all of my life, I have found that once I started becoming more mindful of the fact that a lot of my chronic depression symptoms stem from the way that I think. In other words, and I realize that depression in and of itself is a chemical imbalance from a biological standpoint or from a medical standpoint. But I have found that, and I don't think this is a new revelation for anyone, that there are these, you know, these natural human oscillations of energy that we experience, and depression being really a lack from a biological standpoint and a biochemical standpoint as a lack of energy to engage in things in life, to be willing to be in life, to have the energy to do what needs to be done, to be fully alive and to be out in the world and among people and engaged and doing the things that where we can really make a difference in the world. That when I find myself in a place where I don't have any of that energy, what I have found is, and this is what really, in terms of mindfulness, how this really affects, or how this can affect this in a very positive way, is that it is also my thoughts that I have. It's the way that I'm thinking. It's the way that I'm talking to myself. So I came to a point where I began to accept and embrace the fact that there are going to be inevitable highs and lows. And the highs for me can be just as dangerous, because I know when I'm really feeling great about something, when I really have high energy and I'm really fully engaged in something, there's a tendency to have expectations about what is going to happen. What is it going to feel like? How long is this going to continue? And then I'm also thinking thoughts bracing against the inevitable letdown. At some point, it's going to run its course, and it always does. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. I believe at the end of the day, this is just the natural cycle of life, that this is the way things are. And at some point, and there again, that's just one person's opinion. I'm not saying that that is absolute truth, but in my own human experience, that's really what it boils down to. And it's really all about what I'm thinking, what's going on between my ears, so to speak. How am I reacting to the feelings of having expectations and beliefs about how this is never going to end and how I can continue? The other thing is, I can be thinking a lot of very calculating thoughts about how I can prop this up and keep this high going, or keep whatever it is that's going great in my life, how can I keep it going to where it, you know, even when it reaches the point at which naturally it's hit its apex and is going to revert back towards the other polarity, the plane is going to land at some point. There's an ascension, and then at some point there's also a descending back towards the other polarity. How can I cope with that? And it really all comes down to, for many years, I just chose to escape it by literally realizing that I didn't want to take the ride upwards. So when I found myself really enamored with something, I would just shut it off. I would just shut it out. I was afraid to open myself up and really experience the highs, because I found myself always dreading the inevitable letdown, the inevitable lows that came after. And I didn't want to have to feel that. So I would essentially try to control this as much as I could. And a lot of it was controlled through the thoughts that I have. And many of them did not serve me well, were not really healthy, were not really effective. And it was all about maintaining what I thought was an equilibrium, which really wasn't an equilibrium. What I was really doing was I was avoiding life. I was unwilling to open myself up to experience the joys. So it all had to do with my thinking. And unfortunately, the thinking that I did, I really believed was going to help me manage this, is the word I would use for this. But really, what it was doing, it was reinforcing my own thoughts. I was reinforcing a lack of aliveness. I was really reinforcing kind of a walking numbness to life and to everyone around me. And that's where at some point, it became really clear to me and really apparent to me that the one thing that I could do, if I chose to, was to open my heart, and even if I was afraid to ride the highs and to take that upwards, you know, that upwards ascension, in whatever way that I did and however it happened. And it could be meeting somebody new, getting involved in something new, becoming enamored with someone or something. And then I began to see that once I allowed myself to be human and go through those things, it was only then that I could finally start doing the deeper work of really figuring out how my thoughts about what I was experiencing when I found myself totally buying into whatever it was that was making me high or making me incredibly happy, how I could manage and really stay in the here and now and not be lost somewhere in my own head. And what I found was, is that it was all, it all really came down to not trying to prevent myself from thinking, because the thoughts are going to come inevitably, but to really pay attention to them. And so even after years of practicing mindfulness, I was still quite blind to the fact that it was my thoughts that were making the highs and lows that I experienced as a human being so difficult and so challenging. It was the fear of allowing myself to just take this ride that was occurring in the moment, whether it led upwards or downwards or both, which it inevitably always does. Wherever, as the old saying goes, wherever there is high, there is low. But it's about being able to take that journey and to take it more lightly, to not get so caught up in feeling like a victim when the when the steam ran out of it, so to speak, when things finally ran their course. And I have found for me that they always generally do. And what I don't want to do is I don't want to talk myself into something running its course before it actually has run its course. And I have found myself being that person that will do that. If I think the end is near in terms of a relationship, a friendship, even becoming acquainted with someone, if I think that the operative word here is think. If I'm thinking that it's near the end, then what my tendency to do is I start protecting myself and withdrawing, because I know that low is coming. I know the inevitable is going to happen. And at some point, I don't know exactly when and how it happened, but there was an absolute embracing of the inevitability of this, that there are going to be both, you know. And it used to be that I was really trying to avoid the lows, and then at some point it began to be, okay, if I want to avoid the lows, I also need to avoid the highs. At some point, I realized that I didn't want to avoid either one of them, because it was only when I allow myself to experience both of these things and everything in between, the ride up and the ride back down, that this is the way life works. And the more that I looked at Eastern thought and philosophy and understanding the poignancy of how this is the way life in this universe works, that this is inevitably the way that it is. We can get stuck in either polarity, or we can just allow ourselves to naturally move between the two. And there's a lot of things that I can do to make it easier for myself that are healthy. And it all revolves around being able to be in the moment, whatever practices I'm engaging in. And there's numerous practices that one can do that are very meditative. They can be very physical practices. They can be more mental. There's a lot of things that can be done in order to allow ourselves to be more in touch with what it is that we're really feeling, what it is that we're thinking about what we're feeling. Because there again, that's for me and many people that I've taught and have worked with and have just spoken with about this, is that this is really where it's at, is that it's the thinking that results. It's the reactions to what people either do or don't do, or say or don't say, that ultimately challenge the expectations that we have for other, the expectations we have for other people and the situations that we are in with them, and what it is that we believe should happen, and our beliefs and expectations about how other people should act towards us and towards other people around us, and what we're going to, and when we start really having an agenda for things and having an end game. And these are all, I don't want to condemn myself, and certainly not anyone else, or judge myself or anyone else, because it is very human to think this way. But what I'm finding is that just because it's very human for me to think this way does not mean that I have to believe what the way that I'm thinking. If I'm thinking this way, it doesn't mean that I have to believe it, and that I don't have to live my life according to whatever it is that those thoughts, whatever impulses that are coming up because of what I'm thinking. I can just allow myself to think, because I certainly can't stop myself from thinking. And so it's really about just being with those thoughts in a very impartial way. And it's easier said than done. And that is probably the most difficult part about the practice is that I want, in terms of mindfulness, and as well as mindful coping, it is being able to sit with the thoughts that we have, even when we don't like them, when we are embarrassed by the thoughts that we're having, when we wish we weren't, when we wish that we weren't having them anymore. It is, it's really a matter of being able to be okay, even if we find ourselves not liking what it is that we're thinking, because I know I can't stop it from happening, and I certainly don't want to deny it. So all that is really left for me is to practice sitting with those thoughts, and I don't have to react to them. I don't have to act upon them. And if I really don't put any energy into them in terms of needing to act on them or react to them, then I really don't. I can get to where I can let go of them. I don't have to own them anymore. I don't have to identify with them. I no longer have to identify as the person who is something is happening to just because I think that that's what's happening. Something may very well be happening, but I make the distinction here because in many cases it's really what is dominating me so much is it's my identifying with being the person who something is happening to. And if I can just remove myself from the need to overly identify is that person who is the victim or the person who is something is happening to that I don't like or that I want to run away from. It's really a matter of accepting that my thoughts about, because I may not be able to control, in a lot of cases, I can't control what's happening around me or to me. I can certainly deal healthily with removing myself from situations that aren't healthy. But at the same time, though, this is really more about the fact that if I allow myself to be overwhelmed with everything I'm thinking about what is happening to me and around me, then I can cope more effectively with these highs and lows. I can actually live my life. I can get up every day if I can realize that these are just thoughts and that I don't have to be fearful of them. I don't have to be afraid of what I'm thinking. Because if I'm not so busy, so tightly identifying as the person who's thinking these thoughts, I can begin to see them in more of an impartial way. I can begin to be more of a witness to the thoughts that I'm having. And that I can put a little bit of distance or a little bit of headspace in between who I think I am and these thoughts that I'm having. And at some point, they just become thoughts. They're not even my thoughts. I'm not trying to delude myself or be in denial. It's just a matter of being able to let go of and see that these are just thoughts, and that if I don't believe that my thoughts are my reality any further, and it's something that is a process, I can begin to really allow myself to live life. And so when I do find myself, and I am going through a period of that right now, there are certain things in my life that I am just feeling have sort of hit a low, and there's things that I've kind of feel like I've hit the wall. And that used to be so devastating because of all the thoughts that I was having about it. It was all of the beliefs that I was beginning to hold on to about how maybe my life was over. It's never going to get any better. I'm never going to find things to be enthused about or to be excited about. I'll never be quote unquote happy again. What I'm finding is that I no longer need to cling so much to the need to be happy. Is if I'm living in the moment, there's joy that I can find all around me, whether I'm happy or not. And I know that sounds strange. I've had many people look at me in a very puzzled way, that there is joy, even when we're going through times that we're going through very emotionally low times, when life does not feel good, there are those simple joys there. And it's not up to me to convince anyone of this, and I'm certainly not trying to do that. I'm just speaking from my own experience that if I open myself up to that joy, it's there. But if I'm so busy identifying as the person who's hit the wall, who everything is seeming to fall apart, everything feels like it's run its course, there's nothing that I'm really excited about, that it's okay, because that is just inevitably part of life. And it's really part of the you know, what Eastern thought and philosophy refers to as, you know, the inevitable, the inevitable sadness that is there and the emptiness that is there. And it's just a matter, it doesn't mean that there isn't happiness and joy. It just means that there is inevitably always a low that comes after the high, that's just part of the cycle. There is both birth and death. And if I'm so busy avoiding the death of something that I'm really not living, I'm never really allowing myself to be completely alive and, you know, living between these two polarities and riding, taking the ride up and taking the ride back down. And if I can just believe in my own ability and be empowered enough to not be afraid to take the ride back down that inevitably is going to come, and if I'm not too caught up in identifying as the person that's quote-unquote on my way down again, and I'm really saying this, you know, laughing with a smile on my face, and I know, as strange as that sounds, because at some point I realize I can just kind of let go. I mean, if I know I'm going to eventually take this ride back down, that there's going to be a downward oscillation at some point, then I can find joy even in that too. And if I'm not so busy caught up in all of my thoughts about why it's happening, what did I do wrong, what did I not do that I shouldn't have done to keep this, whatever this thing, this ride going, this high that, you know, was that I was experiencing, everything was going really great, so what did I do wrong in order to find myself here now at the other end of the spectrum? I can begin to find joy in it. I can realize that I don't have to be high to be happy. I don't have to be high to feel like my life is complete. Things don't have to be going incredibly well all the time for me to feel alive and feel like I'm living the life that I want to live. I've found that there are so many lessons that I can learn on the ride back down, eventually landing at some point at that polarity of what I refer to as the low, that's completely opposite of the high. At some point, I begin to realize that it's really not the most interesting thing about life, that in fact, there are so many other things to pay attention to be excited about, that it doesn't really matter whether, you know, I'm having a renaissance, suddenly I'm just, you know, finding myself, all the dots are connecting, everything great is happening, I'm feeling so awake and alive that I don't have to necessarily depend on that to give me the juice that I need to get through life day to day. Some days it's just not going to feel that way. And at some points, you know, sometimes the chapters of life, you know, as they open and begin, they also end and close. Sometimes the entire book closes, and at some point we're left without, you know, we don't know when the next book will open. And what I'm finding is that the more I try to push to make it open and to open a new chapter, sometimes I'm really actually getting in my own way and not allowing myself to just be open to the fact that it will happen when it's supposed to happen. And I'm not using that as a way to abdicate responsibility or to not take action. I just know that sometimes if I'm trying too hard, it's just going to make things worse, and instead of just letting things unfold naturally. So mindfulness practice in this particular context is really about paying attention to the thoughts that I'm having, the reactions that I'm having to the lows that come after the highs, when it feels like things have hit a dead end or hit the wall. If I'm not careful, it's my thoughts that are actually going to prevent me from being able to cope. And if I want to be out in the world, mixing it up with people, being in life where it's all really happening, I have to be able to be mindful on my feet and realize that, you know, yes, I may be thinking self-defeating thoughts out in the world while I'm working, while I'm doing things with people, while I'm trying to be a part of the community and do my part, but I don't necessarily have to believe everything that I'm thinking. And if I don't, I may not feel great about life. I may be at a point in life where it feels like, you know, things feel really empty, or I feel like I've hit a dead end and I'm not sure where the next turn is going to be. But I can still get up every day and do what I need to do and be in the moment, whether it feels like I'm getting nowhere or not, whether it feels like I'm getting somewhere or not. Either way, and it's really mindfulness practice that has allowed me to remove myself from being trapped in all of these beliefs and expectations and all of these negative thoughts that I have in the negative self-talk, and to really be able to live life to its fullest, whether I'm on my way up or whether I'm on my way down.